Istanbul, then, the last picture. Entering the marketplace, barefoot and unadorned, I mingle with the world, blissfully smiling. Dog covered with dust and ragged clothes. I use no magic to expand my life. Using no supernatural powers, you bring the withered trees spontaneously into bloom. Nor he has integrated the Buddhahood. He have digested it and brought it with him back into the world, into the marketplace. Entering the marketplace barefoot and unadorned, I mingle with the people of the world. Why does it say barefoot and unadorned? Because just ordinary, innocent, simple. No, he doesn't want to be anybody. Rather to be looked upon as a fool then, so they leave him alone. From the beginning he doesn't play any games. Who cares what people say? I can roam around as I want. Maybe few people will see, but most people just see a ragged old man, maybe a little crazy. Entering the marketplace barefoot and unadorned, I mingle with the people of the world. No, the whole world is like a Tivoli, a circus. He will enjoy wherever he goes. Blissfully smiling, though covered with dust and ragged of clothes. And this blissfully smiling, very few people understand. Seriousness this world understand, but blissfully smiling, or what? You must be crazy. Only some people will recognize. Though covered with dust and ragged of clothes, because this has nothing to do with how you appear on the outside. I use no magic to expand my life. And life is the most valuable that we have. But he's saying, I use no magic to expand my life. That is also in all the traditions, they want to expand their life. All the yogis have been trying to expand their lives. Now you have all the health freaks, no? That's the new yogis. They're trying to expand their life, and more will they try. But for one who has come back to himself, Who cares? In this eternity, if you live 10 years more or less, you are at total at ease, at peace. I use no magic to expand my life. Using no supernatural powers, you bring the withered tree spontaneously into bloom. All the people want supernatural things, magical things, hocus pocus, because that is very attractive for the mind. And remember, he could have used, but who cares? It's not a show. Using no supernatural powers, you bring the withered tree spontaneously into bloom. Whoever is touched will bloom. Who are the withered trees? You are the withered trees. People are the withered trees. Hardly any life left. But if you get in contact with the divine, with the truth, with love, then again, a different life current starts beating. The heart starts waking up. That is the biggest miracle. And it happens spontaneously, effortless. If there is a recognition, if there is an opening, if there is a sensitivity, if there is love, only then it happens. Entering the marketplace barefoot and unadorned, I mingle with the people of the world. And this is truly compassion. No, I go back. All the chances for that he will get problems in the marketplace. Blissfully smiling, though covered with dust and ragged of clothes. This is also just hints that this has nothing to do with the appearance. How God should be. You can have dusty, raggedy clothes. That's why it's so beautiful in Zen, in Taoist. But it's the same. The Sufis, the Bhaktis of India. The traveling yogis of Tibet. But it has nothing to do if you're rich or poor. You can be like a modern sage, like Ramana Maharshi. He was just his whole life living just with a little loincloth, almost naked. Only a little white shawl he had when it was winter. Winter, there is not much to talk about. Always walking around in his little loincloth. For the Indians, that was the perfect picture of a yogi, of Shiva. Then comes Osho. Totally different picture of an enlightened master. Diamond watches. Rolls Royce, finest clothes, air condition, Coca-Cola. It didn't fit in at all. And that's why he took it all the way out, as far as he could, because he wanted to shake this old, stagnant Indian spiritual mind into pieces. So you have all the different sides. The Mohammedans, they are not allowed to drink alcohol. Gurdjieff, famous for his cognac, everything could disappear as long. Maybe that was his only attachment. So you have all different, but a Buddhist, they will never think about an enlightened man like that. So it's all ideas. It has nothing to do with the appearance. That you understand only when you get intimate with that master. It doesn't matter who. It has to do with your totality. Rumi, we talked a lot about Rumi. He was a very educated man. He had his own following, but very traditional, like this is how his father... He's almost like he inherited that job. Then comes his master, Shyam. Totally wild, ragged clothes. And changed his whole life. Burnt all his books. That is the people who can transform. They come in all shapes and colors. Using no supernatural powers, you bring the withered trees spontaneously into bloom. And anybody who gets in contact with the true guru, a master, an enlightened one, they will start blooming, they will start growing, they will start expanding. It's bound to, because people are just a seed. And the master is pure nectar. So when that water comes on the seed, of course, it doesn't matter how long the seed has been there. Now the commentaries. Inside my gate, 1,000 sages do not know me. The beauty of my garden is invincible. Nobody can see, again, nobody can see from the outside. It is an inner garden. And only the more you are in touch with your inner garden, the more you will recognize it. That's why it's so easy to miss. And most people, they have no clue that they have an inner beautiful rose garden. It's just weeds. The beauty of my garden is invincible. Why should one search for the footprints of the patriarchs? I go to the marketplace with my bottle and return home with my staff. I visit the wine shop and the market, and everyone I look upon become enlightened. Everybody I look upon becomes enlightened. For the enlightened one, everybody is enlightened. Maybe they understand slowly that You don't remember, but still you are enlightened. And that is the compassion to go on waking up the sleepy ones, even though the sleepy ones, they don't want to wake up. Even though the sleepy ones will shout at you, maybe throw something after you, no, no, it's too early. This is the thing, that is the problem of going into the marketplace. Only when somebody is really ready to wake up, then it's fun. Then you have the different stages, like Ramana said, you have like wet wood. Some disciple is like wet wood. Some is a little dry, a little wet. And some is very dry. Just one little spark and they catch fire. Some, they have to go slowly. And some, they just become smoky when they come close to the fire. And the poor master get the smoke in the eyes. This is different stages, Ramana said, from the disciples. You can say it in so many different ways, no? Everyone I look upon becomes enlightened. I go to the marketplace with my bottle and return home with my stuff. I visit the wine shop and the market. This is very beautiful in this Zen tradition, because everything is allowed. And that's how a mystic should be. Because you are free. The more you try to fit into a tradition, the more unnatural you really are. Because everybody has to make their own tradition. Everybody is unique. So a true mystic, it will be totally unique. It can't be just the same. That is the carbon copies. Everybody has their own expression. And Zen takes it all the way out. Which in the West, they always had problems to understand, because it's so like a paradox. It's sitting meditation, peaceful, and also fighting. It's very relaxed and it's very hot. It's both. I know they're even talking about going to the market to buy wine. Who have ever thought talking like that about an enlightened one? It's just a sign that now everything becomes ordinary. It's a full circle. You don't need to behave in any special way because you are just yourself. If you like wine, you drink wine. If you don't like wine, you don't drink wine. What's the big deal? But people, this must be there because people had always this, that alcohol is something bad. Anything that is fun is bad. What's the point of living? Control, seriousness, rules, regulation, fear, guilt. A true religion should be just the opposite. Life affirmative. yes to life. I always remember Osho said yes to life. That is the true mantra. You are alive. How can you say no? And it seems like so many of these old religions, they've been going on saying no. Just have feeling inside. If you say no, how do you feel then? And you say yes, how do you feel? It's a totally different feeling. And if you haven't thought about it before, maybe start practicing saying yes more. It gives you a different flavor. I go to the marketplace with my bottle and return home with my stuff. I visit the wine shop and the market, and everyone I look upon becomes enlightened. Everything is like it should be. Noah is the first circle. First, he had lost the bull, even though the bull cannot be lost, but because of your identification to the mind and all these clouds and confusion, then the whole search. No, he had done the whole journey, even coming back to the marketplace. That is the ultimate, that is the natural, that's how the world should be. Enlightened people just doing whatever. Everything is needed to do in this world. And that's what all the Buddhas wants to share, that everybody can realize that you are free, that you are already that which you are seeking. That's what this whole thing is about. I go to the marketplace with my bottle and return home with my stuff. I visit the wine shop and the market, and everyone I look upon becomes enlightened. Because all there is consciousness. All there is love. All there is silence. All there is God. From that point, there is no separation. No, there is a natural living. This is how life could be, can be. It can be a suffering, or it can be a celebration. With consciousness, with love, with awareness, it becomes a celebration. With unconsciousness, with mind, it becomes suffering. So I hope everybody becomes conscious. That's why I don't teach you only meditation, I teach you drinking also. My precious beloved, a crystal bird of twinkling light came to me recently in a dream. I was floating in air, in a beautiful state of being, close to you, my master. When this bird came to me and wanted me to follow it, no words, just something that was to happen. I resisted a little, but you told me silently to go. So I left you, and the beautiful Buddha field around you, following this magnificent sparkling bird of light. All was beautiful, also the thrill of flying. Then the bird dove down towards a frozen swamp, deep in the forest. I landed by a crack in the ice and made me understand that I was supposed to go down. I went down under. I could feel the cold, muddy waters enrobing my feet. The chill made me freeze, but I went on. I was drawn towards the sound of somebody breathing heavily in this cold underworld with very, very little light. On a dusty concrete floor, I found a person sleeping intensely. I bowed down to wake it up. Then I woke up. As much as I know I'm asleep, I know the light is there with you, beloved. This is how it is. I cannot want it differently. I can only accept, and I can stay close to you. Even if I know how to ski, how to drive, how to fish, how to make a meal or a house, the only time I really feel useful is when I'm at your feet. Useless and blissful. Useless and blissful. When you and existence can fill me up with the true reason for being with your love, there is only you. Thank you, beloved. I have a little gift for you. It is a pure, clean olive oil from a Norwegian producer in southern Spain. If you like it, I can provide you with some more. But even ever so pure and virgin, it is only a shadow of the divine oil you treat me with. Thank you for going on oiling up all my squeaky joints. Only you can make me more flexible, smooth, and fluid again. Only you can make me useful again. I love you in eternal gratitude. Yours, Sujan. That is how it is when one opens up. But only one thing I have to say. You were floating in the air in a beautiful state of being close to you when this bird came and wanted me to follow it. No words, just something that was to happen. I resisted a little, but you told me to silently to go. So I left you. And the beautiful Buddha field around you. No, you didn't leave me. That is the only thing. When I say, then you don't leave. You listened. And sometimes you have to go and do other things because you don't understand it. So I have to show you in another way. But you don't leave. This is how I see. Inside a little crack in the ice, the chill made me freeze. But I still go on. That's how it, sometimes, most of the time it's very nice, but sometimes it's some very frosty breeze coming my way. It's not nice because I'm very sensitive. And then you say, I was drawn towards the sound of somebody breathing heavenly in this cold underworld with very little light. Yes, that's how it is. In some mysterious way, I'm also drawn towards that. And I found on the floor, concrete floor, I found a person sleeping intensely. You got an inside. And I bow down to wake it up, then I woke up. Yeah. It's not time yet. First wake up. Then wake up. Beloved Swar, thank you for setting me free, giving me clear vision to see more and more and more what is false. In gentle ways, I am constantly reminded by a small bird singing or a soft, loving breeze gently visiting. Gently you show me back to myself where I can rest and enjoy the simplicity of life, the fulfillment in just being. Thank you, beloved, for the unending gift you offer. The more it is unwrapped, the bigger it gets. It fills me with gratitude and soft, silent tears. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Eternally at your feet, love, Premli. They're very nice. They say, oh, like that poem, that's what I said, it's the same thing happening. This Dharamdas, I embrace the feet of my master, you say. Huh? It's the same as Premli saying. Same family. My beloved Master, somehow I knew I had to come here in the winter to be in this retreat with you. It was a very strong pulling from my heart. Being here with you in this white, vast, pure place has been brought me a soft remembrance from the most clear place inside me. It is like a strange familiar feeling from an ancient memory. So I really had to laugh when I met you, and you so innocently asked me, "You remembered? You remembered?" Walking in the moonlight back home after satsang, so cold, so quiet, I had to stop and cry for the beauty life is pouring. I'm amazed in being so blessed, in seeing and living what I'm living with you. Only love could take me in such places. These days of silence has been so easy, simple, natural, that I start to believe that this is my life. This miracle of every moment is my life. In this sacred silence, I felt a strong pull to do prayer meditation every night before I go to sleep. It has been filling me up with such a strong energy that it takes a while for me to sleep afterwards. Could you talk about prayer, beloved? I felt prayer, the heart whispering, opening up a new mysterious door inside me. In deep love and gratitude, your Sana. You cannot hide it when you remember, then I see it. And this prayer meditation is beautiful, that's why I made it. And the same with that Markala, it will click with different people. Just live in the mystery of prayer, Sana. And be happy, it's there. Prayerfulness is when love is flowering. And only, you say, only love would take me such places. It is. And love is my whole climate, and love liberates, and in love you remember. The grace and the prayerfulness. In that silent love, everything becomes sacred, everything becomes a prayer, everything becomes holy. That is prayer. And look how easy you can be involved and taken away from it. Be happy, Sana, that is visiting. And take care of it. Because it's a razor's edge. Suddenly, you are very occupied with other things. I'm happy that you enjoy my lovely places, both outside and inside. Aum Shanti. May everyone feel a sacred prayerfulness in their being. Out of that, everything becomes graceful, beautiful. When love has touched you and you feel so blessed, so peaceful, that is the true prayer. Prayer is not asking for something. It's a gratitude for all that has been given.